Good morning, church.
I'm going to start by saying it's really an honor and a privilege to be able to stand here and just share with you what I believe God has laid upon my heart. And the title to the message this morning is, Are You Truly Satisfied? Are you truly satisfied? And if you think about the question, it really challenges us, doesn't it? I mean, it challenges our motives, our lifestyles. It kind of gauges how far or how close we are to the path that the Lord predestined us to walk on. So this morning, I want us to be truly honest with ourselves. Let's take off the masks. Let's lay down all pretense, that image that we sometimes try and show the world. Let's lay it down and let's be honest with ourselves. Because let's face it, if we are not truly satisfied, there's something missing. That's the truth. You see, the Lord's heart for us is to be satisfied in Him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Christianity is for living. It's not for some time on that side of eternity when He comes. It starts today. I am the life. I give you my love that your joy may be full. I give you my peace. Why are you so anxious? So to get to the real heart of the question, I want us to go to the very beginning, okay, where our walk or our union with Christ first began. Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And I apologize for preaching in English this morning. I do believe that if we're not going to speak Hebrew one day in heaven, it's probably going to be English. Okay. Okay. Okay, that's just a joke. All right, chapter 6, verse 1. Paul starts this chapter with a question. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Good point. Verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we shall no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we should also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have a dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. It's quite a lot in this small passage. So let's start with a question that he asks. Well, for me, the question does two things. Firstly, it pulls down every notion or idea that if we give our lives to the Lord, we can just carry on living how we want. We can just carry on sinning. That's the first thing it does. And secondly, it challenges us by saying that if we are continuing to sin, have we truly died? And it's in this dying process that I want to speak about this morning, that the Lord showed me in this passage. Paul said we have died with Christ and that we have been raised with Him into a newness of life. So what we see here is that the dying process is done with the Lord. And many times we try and die in our own strength. And that's not what the Lord intended. We must stop trying to die in our own strength, because we're missing out on the most precious and valuable steps with the Lord. It's the start of our union with Him. It's in the dying. We have died with Him, and we have been raised with Him. Do we understand that? It also shows that when we have died, we are no longer under the dominion of sin. We have taken on a new identity. Sin no longer defines who we are. We are in Christ, and that's exactly what a Christian is. It's a man or woman in Christ. And that's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12. I'm a man in Christ. So there's a union here that starts, okay, once we die. We start walking in this newness of life. So what does this newness of life look like? We need to ask ourselves, what does the path look like? Well, in this passage, we see that there's an outward working that starts taking place, okay? We should start walking in this newness of life. And secondly, it's in His strength that we start to walk this newness of life. Can we see that? Paul says that we need to reckon ourselves dead and alive in Christ. And this walk that we start walking, we start to present ourselves as instruments of righteousness to God and no longer instruments of unrighteousness to sin. So there's an outward working that starts taking place. So to see what this path looks like, I want us to turn to Colossians 3, New Testament, Colossians 3 verse 1. If you then were raised with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is our life appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. So we see that once we died and now we've been risen, we start seeking the things of above. In other words, we're not looking for satisfaction in the world anymore. We're looking for our satisfaction in Him. We seek the things that are above. Verse 5, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So we see that there's an old man that we shouldn't be relating with anymore. It's the old man with his deeds. In other words, there's certain characteristics that identify this old man. And we see it in here, in the scriptures. That's why the Lord is saying we need to put off these things. So what does the new man look like? We need to ask ourselves. Verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Don't you find it amazing that our first steps in this newness of life, the Lord is saying, forgive one another. Isn't that incredible? It's the first thing that He's saying. Listen, put on mercy. Put on humility. Put on these things and forgive one another. Start walking in His love, which is the bond of perfection. Then it says, let the peace of the Lord rule in your hearts. What does it mean? What does it mean to have His peace rule in our hearts? What does it look like? To have the peace of God ruling your heart means that you're in peace with others. That's what it looks like. It's not sleeping at night and you have a wonderful sleep, that you're in His peace. Yes, it is. But to rule, to honestly have the peace of God ruling in your hearts means that you can get along with one another. And that it's the same goes for love. To have love ruling in your heart means that you can love one another. Okay, so in Romans 6, we see Paul says, reckon yourself to be dead and alive in Christ. And Colossians 3 says, sing to one another in psalms and spiritual songs and all of that. So what we've done is we put something together this morning, a song. Okay, the song is called In Christ We Live. And the chorus goes as a declaration of saying we have died, we have risen into a newness of life. And it's in Christ Jesus we live. So we're going to sing you the song this morning. I'm going to ask Corinne and Albrecht to please come to the stage. They're going to assist in this song. I want you to pay attention to the words and the verses because we're going to go through it afterwards. Okay. Yeah, just follow the words on the screen, please, and just meditate upon these words. They're very powerful.
See you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
So we have died and we have risen into a newness of life. And it's in Christ Jesus we live. We abide justified in a newness of joy. It's in you, Lord Jesus, we live. Now, the Lord speaks about abiding in him. And I just want us just to listen what he has to say. So we can open our Bibles to John 15. John 15. And while we're paging there, in John 14, the Lord says to his disciples, "My peace I give to you." And then he says that he's going to give them his Spirit of truth. And this is an important part of the step, isn't it? The Lord has given us his Spirit of truth so that we can walk this path with him. John 15, verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." We see here from the very beginning that the Lord is making note that there's somebody in charge of the vineyard, and that's the Father. He is the vine dresser. He's the one that prunes. Verse 3, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." So a good indication of a disciple is somebody that bears fruit. Okay, but the Lord wants us to see something here. He's saying that we can't do anything without him. What does that mean? Well, what it means is if we are bearing fruit in our own strengths, that fruit does not glorify God the Father. It glorifies ourselves. The only way to bear fruit that glorifies the Father is through Christ. We need to understand that. It is through his strength, it is through living in this union with him that we can bear fruit that glorifies the Father. He says, ask anything. What does that mean? Lord, I want the new Amarok. No. It's in relation to the scripture. We must ask the Lord, help us to bear the fruit that will glorify the Father. Can we see that? All right. Verse 9, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." So the Lord's saying, I'm giving you my love, abide in my love. How do we abide in his love? By keeping his command. What is his command? Love one another. There it is again and again. God wants us to love one another. That is what's keeping his command. That is how we abide in him. Verse 16. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And that fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." He's saying, ask again. Ask him what? Lord, show us how to love one another. Let's face it. This is something we cannot do in our own strength. It's easy to love somebody that's nice, that's uplifting, that always wants to listen to us. It's easy to love them. But try love the guy that rubs you up the wrong way or presses the wrong buttons. We got to do it in his strength. Amen. Okay. Let's go to the first verse of the song, Rian. Verse 1, please. We enter the gate of righteousness with thanksgiving in our hearts. Surrendering all, we bow our heads where your mercy and grace abounds. A love so strong, a love so deep, through a price you paid for all. Confessing you, Lord, believing in you through our faith in Christ alone. We enter this gate of righteousness. And David said that in Psalm 118. I enter the gates of righteousness and I will praise the Lord. And church, this is something that I've been meditating upon and chewing on for the last 2 to 3 months. Okay, this is, I've asked the Lord to break this open for me because I knew there was something that perhaps that I was missing. And he was so generous, and it's by his grace and mercy that I can share this with you this morning. There's two things that we need to learn about this gate. First of all, when we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that the Lord is Christ and he's Lord above all, okay, and that he was raised from the dead, it is imputed to us as righteousness. In other words, when we believe in him, we have now access into the presence of the Father. That's the first thing we need to know. The second thing is that we need to learn how to receive this righteousness. And I believe that most of us are struggling with this. Maybe you're not aware of it. But when Hephzibah was here, she said, there are so many people living outside the garden. And it's because of this gate. We need to learn how to receive this righteousness. It's a gift. There's nothing we can do to earn it, okay? And it's once we enter the gate that our outward working starts. And the first thing is thanksgiving, because we realize what he's done for us, and there's nothing that we can do to repay him. This is a gift from him. In other words, this newness of life, this new path that we're walking on, is not going to make us righteous. It's from being made righteous that we walk the new path. Can we see? It's the same as laying down your life. You don't lay down your life to now be in righteousness with God. It's from a place of righteousness, being made righteous, that we now lay down our lives. We got it the wrong way, many of us anyway. Okay, second verse. We hunger and thirst for righteousness. Only you can satisfy. We empty ourselves before you, Lord. Come and fill us now. All right. We hunger and thirst for righteousness, meaning we hunger and thirsting for his way. And the Lord showed me this picture of this. Imagine a glass filled with Coke to the brim. And this Coke in this glass represents me, myself, and I. Okay? There's no room for anything else. It's only by emptying yourself out that you will ever start to hunger and thirst for his ways. If that glass is full of yourself, you'll never hunger and thirst for righteousness. Okay, so we empty ourselves out. What are we emptying out? We're emptying out our way, our truth, and our life. And we ask him to fill us now. Fill us with what? For his way, his truth, and his life. Right, justified, peace within, reconciled to it by a Father's love. Grafted, entwined, we bear the fruit to the glory of God above. Okay, we've gone through that in John chapter 15. Right, third verse. Chosen to serve a broken world, let your word light our path. Our lives we bring, give to you, O Lord. We no longer live for ourselves. So we see that the Lord said he has chosen us to bear fruit, to be a light to this world, okay? And we are asking him, Lord, by your word, show us how to live this life. Show us how to be a light to the world. On this side of the gate of righteousness is where we say, Lord, here's my life. I no longer live for myself. And if your hearts this morning are truly in tune with these words, church, it's the most powerful declaration ever, because we are saying that we are in Christ. It's no longer me anymore. Can you see? So I want us to sing the song together as a declaration this morning. And before we do that, just to sum up from our original question, are we truly satisfied? I think what the scriptures that we read this morning show us what truly satisfied really looks like. Number one, well, let's put it in one sentence, okay? It's abiding in Christ Jesus and bearing fruit that glorifies the Father. If we walk in that, we will be totally satisfied. And to break that up and to just revise what we went through this morning, we need to receive His righteousness, His love, and His peace. We need to learn to receive that, okay? We need to empty ourselves out so that we start hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We need to abide in Christ and bear the fruits that glorifies the Father through Christ and not in our own strengths. But there's an underlying sort of word that the Lord is telling us, isn't it, by His Spirit. There's an underlying word, and that is this. We need to stop trying to live this life in our own strength. That is what He's telling us this morning. Abide in me. Abide in my love. Abide in my strength. Stop trying to do this thing on your own. Receive my righteousness. Okay, so we're gonna sing this song together. It's quite simple, isn't it? I mean, it's not a tricky song. I mean, we can all sing it. And then I'm just going to close off with prayer. We can all stand. We have died, we have risen.
chose to serve the broken world. Let your word light our path. Our lives we give to you, oh Lord. We no longer live ourselves. We have died, we have risen in newness of life. It's in We want to see you glorified.
Father, our heart this morning is to see you glorified. And I know many times, Lord, we try and walk this path in our own strength, many times unknowingly. And we want to pray today, Lord, that our righteousness comes from you and not from ourselves. We want to pray that we will bear fruit, abiding in your Son, Jesus, to glorify your name. Lord, just as Paul prayed over the Philippians, I want to pray over us to this morning, Lord. I pray that our love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that we may approve the things that are excellent, that we may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God. Amen.